And so as I've been processing, praying, thinking about this, the next level, God began to speak, Holy Spirit began to speak to me this thought, next level thinking for next level living. Next level thinking for next level living. Come on, say that. Next level thinking for next level living. And I want to remind us of just a couple of passages that you can turn to in your own Bible study and in time. And that is Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, because it's there that it speaks of Jesus sits in heavenly places. It's in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. It says, we sit in heavenly places in him. And the reason why that's important, because that's part of the next level thinking. That's the new level thinking. Okay? That's the mind being renewed. What do you think about yourself? Where do you see yourself? And it's important because when we look through the history of the people of God, one of the things that we see is how that part of their struggle was they weren't thinking the right way. So even after they came out of Egypt, and God's now going to bring him into the promised land. You remember that when Moses sent out the spies, the challenge that they faced is that out of the 12, 10 came back with a bad report. But their report was based on what they thought about themselves. It was not how they thought about God. It was how they thought about themselves. I'm talking about new level thinking for new level living. You see, had they reminded themselves of all that God did while they were in Egypt, once they came out, it would have been a no-brainer. You know when you say it's a no-brainer what that means, right? It means you don't even got to think about it. That's a no-brainer. He brought us into this land. It's a no-brainer. We good. Let's go in. Let's take the land and get on with it. But that's not what happened. It's because they missed what God was doing as teachable moments. And one of the things that's challenging for many, I believe, is that we walk through seasons, we walk through circumstances, but we don't see them as teachable moments. You see, one of the things about higher learning, education, it's not that everything you're taught, you're going to remember. But what it does is it helps you to think at another level. It helps you to think at a higher level. That's just the way it works. When you are in academia, when you are moving through levels of education, and many of you here have gone on from high school to college, and you've gotten degrees and some masters and some doctorates, in all of that, it takes you to the next level of thinking, whether you ever use what you learned or not. But it increases your capacity to be able to process more. And so their challenge was, when God was working the miracles in Egypt, they were not taking notes. And I'm not talking about natural notes. Sometimes it's the spiritual part. And so therein lies the need for our minds to be renewed, because hear me, you do need to be thinking something about yourself. As a matter of fact, here it says in Romans 12, 1 through 3, I'm going to read this. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, saying you've got to think differently now. Okay? You're going to need to think differently now. It says, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Meaning that without your mind being renewed, without being able to move from the next, from one level to the next in your thinking, there's a good probability that you won't fulfill all that God's intended to do in your life. It says, now listen to this. It says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself or yourself than you ought to think. Now, what that says to me is you need to be thinking something about yourself. Just don't think more highly. I'm talking about next level thinking for next level living. See, unfortunately, for many, they never move into that next level living that produces a greater manifestation of God's glory and God's presence in your life because they've never been able to move in their minds. They've never been able to really move in their thinking. And if you think prison bars are strong, nothing stronger than the stronghold in your mind. Because you can be in prison bars and get out, but if you're not free in your mind, you're going to still live in a small cage. You're going to still live in a small space. And that's exactly what started to happen with the children of Israel when they came out. Because they lived under such conditions for so long, once they got out, their mind was still bound up. They were still prisoners. They were still slaves. That we don't even have to go all the way back to Egypt. It happened in America. That when the Emancipation Proclamation came or Juneteenth or whatever you want to call it happened, for some folks, it didn't mean a whole lot because they didn't get free in their minds. I'm convinced you're not limited by what others think about you. You're limited by what you think about yourself. And sometimes what we do is we dumb down what we know about ourselves so we can fit into the thinking of someone else's mind. That's bondage. Songwriter. Song he wrote called Claustrophobic, and in it there's the line in the song that says, I'm claustrophobic trying to live in your small mind. Say next level thinking for next level living. And so one of the things that I want to help us to recognize is God designs things to help you and I to grow and to mature in our thinking process that helps us to be able to move into the further into the things that he's purposed to do in us and through us. One example, I've been watching. How many of y'all been watching Chosen, the series Chosen? If you haven't, God bless you. You need to watch it. Again, how many of you have seen the series Chosen? So how many of you saw the most recent one entitled, the last one, Sustenance, where he feeds the multitude of people and when he walks on the water? Okay. All I'm saying is you got to see it. I know there's a lot of movies out there about Jesus with the long curly hair and the cropped, you know, beard and everything. This ain't one of those. To me, it's as real and factual as I've ever seen. There's a scene in this particular episode where Jesus is taking them somewhere and they're confronted by different people groups, Jews, Gentiles, another group of people, and they're all confronting him. And he's with his disciples, and the disciples are ready to throw down. We in trouble. We get ready to hit it, you know. And Jesus says, and the people are talking to Jesus, and they're confronting him, talking to him about his disciples who are outspreading his message. And he says to his disciples, "Everyone, sit down." And so one of the ladies, you know, she, "I ain't sitting down." He says, "I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to my disciples. Y'all, sit down. We're going to talk right now. We're going to talk right now, and you're going to ask me questions. And those that are listening, if you have questions, I'll answer your questions too." And he begins to talk. Everything Jesus did was to demonstrate something and to shift the thinking. So while his disciples were thinking one thing about the moment, he says, "I need you to sit down. We're just going to talk." They sit down. Now the other people standing. In the midst of them talking, there's a guy that comes up who's been injured. happens to be black. He comes up, he's limping, injured his leg, broke his leg, it's infected. When he starts walking up, one of the disciples says, "Get out of here, the master is teaching." And Jesus like, don't do that. He comes up. A few of the other people that are standing around start talking about him. He smells putrid, and they're saying different things. And he says, I didn't want this condition. And he shows his leg, and everybody says, ooh, like that. And then Jesus walks over to him, just puts his hand on his shoulder, and instantly he's healed. And he takes it off his leg. And when he takes it off his leg, everybody sees that he's healed. And he hugs him. And he says, Jesus says, now I would tell you to go and not tell anybody, but we're already past that point. And he says it just like that, causes a crowd. He says, and the guy says, I haven't ran in a long time. And he just ran off. And then all the people that were standing all sat down. Incredible visual. All out of Jesus talking to his disciples. And then that one act, that one miraculous act. It's in Matthew, the 8th chapter, familiar passage where they get in the boat. This is after they fed the multitudes, either the 4,000 or the 5,000. And they fed them. And it says that they get in a boat, and it says this, Mark 8, verse 14. It says, and they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. They began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Then he asked this question. Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? Ears, do not hear? He says, and do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up? And they said, 12. When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said, 7. And he was saying to them, do you not yet understand? Everything Jesus did was to demonstrate the power and reality of his kingdom. For his disciples, though, it was training for reigning. Everything he did, listen, everything he did was to show them what was possible and what they could do also. In other words, what Jesus was saying is based off of what you have seen and experienced, participated in, your faith and your thinking should be at a whole new level now. He says, Do you not yet understand? I can hear Jesus saying, why do you still act like I've never done anything? Why do you still act like I've never done anything? When everything that God is doing, what Holy Spirit is doing, is to help you, help me, live the life that Jesus gave his life for. And that's a complete life in every way. The challenge with these guys is that they weren't paying attention. They weren't getting the right lesson. So my question to you is, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? Are you taking notes? Now, I'm not talking about notes here in service. I'm talking about life notes. Life notes. I have two folders full of notes, prophetic. I'm not talking about teaching notes. I'm talking about time spent with the Father. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I got folders of prophetic words. I sat down the other night and began to go back through them again. They go back 30 years. 32, 33. One word I picked up went all the way back to 1989. And I'm reading it over. And I'm realizing what part of it is fulfilled and what part is yet to be fulfilled. I'm taking notes. My question to you is, are you paying attention? Are you taking notes? Are you learning from your experiences, good and bad? Or are you trying to hurry through it? Not recognizing that God orchestrates and ordains things in our lives for the purpose of moving us to the next level. No matter where you are right now, God is saying there's another level. There's the next level. If you're joined to this house, that's your word. That's my word. That's our word. And God is fulfilling it right now. When we talked about the year of accelerated kingdom advancement, we came into this year with acceleration. Shortly in the last week or so, Pastor Nina sent out an email where there is a company that's providing more of the food things that we need. And basically said, and I'm putting you all at the front of the list, you just make room, make preparation. As much as you can handle, we will give you. That sounds like God, don't it? As much as you can handle, I'm going to do it for you. As much as you can handle, I'm going to give it to you. So let me ask the question again so we just don't skirt right by it. Are you paying attention? Are you taking notes? Are you learning from the experiences, good and bad? In the midst of what you're dealing with, going through, have you paused long enough to say, Holy Spirit, show me how I'm to grow out of this. Show me how I am to mature out of this. Give me a glimpse of the next level after this. Because you and I must settle and not vacillate back and forth. Because, see, we will say one day how we trust God, love God. Oh, I just trust God in every way. And then when the stuff hits the fan, you may not say you don't trust God, but your actions or lack of actions say something else. In our trust of God and what he is doing in all of us as it relates to the next level, and more specifically, more importantly, is the next level of relationship in him. Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, when I talk about the next level, it's just not the next level up. It's the next level down. It's the deeper places. It's the deep places. I was here worshiping and talking to the Lord, and I heard Pastor Derek say, go deep, go deeper. Come on, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. See, next level thinking means you're not living a surface-based life. You're not living a superficial life. Next level thinking means you're willing to look at the challenging things, look at the hard things. Because if there's anything that needs to be adjusted, anything that needs to be repented of, anything that needs to be changed, You are able to do that as a result. And hear me, God will always provide the grace for the change. And then once you experience the change, then you can experience the next level. That next level may be up. That next level may be down. In most cases, it certainly is down because now you're more rooted in God. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in his season. I just want to ask you, do you think it might be your season? Hey! I'm feeling it right. It's my season. It's my season. I'm going back to, you know, let a man not think more highly. You know, it's my season, Vanessa. It's my season. It's my season, viewing audience. I'm not thinking more highly of myself than I ought to. But see, some of you need to be able to say that yourself. Everything I've been through, every test that I've passed, and I got the report cards to show you. I got the degrees. See, you don't want to spend all of your life getting there. But one of the things that we've got to settle, and I'm moving along so I can move along. 1 Peter 4. Here's one of the passages of scripture that really is meat for those who are mature, and it says this. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal or trials among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Why me, Lord? Why me? But to the degree that you share the Lord's sufferings, keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. To the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory. Now, let me pause right there and just add a little commentary to that. Because you see, sometimes it is hard to rejoice in the midst of the fiery trial. But at some point in it, or at the conclusion of it, comes the revelation of what you've been dealing with and why you've been dealing with it. That's where the glory comes in. Now, there's two places of glory that I want to help you with. There is that glory at the conclusion of the matter, but then there's the glory that he gets out of you and I, walking it out in faith, continuing to trust him, continuing to praise him, continuing to worship him, continuing to exercise our faith in the midst of the trial. That is giving glory to God. Can I get about 7 more of y'all to clap with the 3 that's clapping right now? See, I know this isn't, I know Pastor George, this isn't one of our favorite passages of scripture. You know, I don't turn here every week and hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for the trials. Thank you for the tests. But you got to know this, the trials and tests are coming anyway. It says, so that at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. It says, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of the glory, of glory, and of God rest on you. See, here's a revelation for some of you. You're going through what you're going through because the enemy is mad. Because the glory of God rests on you. And the more you live out your faith, he's going to try to do things to discourage you. There are next levels of glory in this season as well. But those next levels of glory aren't always feel-good levels. And yet they are levels of glory. And if you can understand this particular passage, you'll recognize that the writer is saying, don't get surprised when you find yourself going through. It is a part of the process. As a matter of fact, if you're not going through something, and I just want you to think about this, if you're not going through something, it's a good chance you're not going to something. Yeah. If you're not going through something, there it is on the screen, it's a good chance you're not going to something. You're stagnant. You're not moving. You're stuck. How many of you know that's a challenging word to hear right there? I didn't get any amens on that. I didn't expect to. I did get a whoo. But I didn't get any amens on that, Rhonda. I get it. I've never been an amen preacher. If you're not going through something, it's a good chance you're not going to something. You're stuck. You're stagnant. You're not moving. I remember when the Lord brought that word to me, and some of you in this house know that because you've been with me all these years, that I was in South Africa and my bishop called me up to give me a word, and I'm just really wondering why he's calling me up in South Africa. He could have called me up in the United States of America. But you know, God will speak to you anywhere at any time. And so he calls me up, and the word that the Lord spoke to me, you said you're waiting on me, but you're not waiting on me. You stopped. And I had to hear that word, and I had to repent. I had to repent because the truth in that word is I had stopped. And one of the things that I and others will give an account for when we have the opportunity to lead others is where I stop and I'm leading you will affect where you stop. John Maxwell calls it the law of the lid, meaning as a leader, you can't go any further than that leader. So don't think for one moment, while I may have the opportunity to teach and share and lead this ministry, that I'm not learning myself, that I'm not a part of other apostolic groups, that I'm not reading, that I don't have books that I read, conferences that I go to, counsel that I receive, so that I'm able to continue to grow and go to the next level also. So let me rephrase this because I put it in this I made the statement, if you're not going through something, it's a good chance you're not going to something. So let me rephrase it and say, if you're going through something, it's because you're going to something, or you have the opportunity to go to something. Next level thinking for next level living. I'm pulling this in now. Next level thinking for next level living requires movement. Say movement. It requires change, and sometimes, many times, it requires pain. However, though, just like lifting at the gym, some of us know about that, pain comes with growth, just like lifting weights. But over time, that pain should decrease until you add heavier weights. So the way that works, and those of you that work out and do weightlifting and those kind of things, you know how that works. It's good to have a personal trainer because most of us, many will not push themselves, but only so far. How many of you got a personal trainer? Let me see. You got a personal trainer? Anybody else got a personal trainer? What'd you say? Tomorrow. Personal trainer tomorrow. So let me help you. We all got a personal trainer called Holy Spirit. So let me ask the question again. I know what you were saying. How many of y'all got a personal trainer? We all got a personal trainer. Holy Spirit. He's the one who sets up your workout in the various seasons of your life based on where he knows the Father wants to take you. See, when you go into the gym and you're saying, you know what, I'm training for this triathlon. and I need to be ready because it's in 6 months. They come up with a routine. They come up with a plan. They come up with a schedule. And they say, I need you to commit to this. Every day, you're going to do this. We're going to go through this. We're going to go through this, go through this, go through this. And by the end of it, you'll be at the level you need to be at to participate and maybe even win that competition. That's not unlike Holy Spirit working with you and I. The concept really is the same as it relates to our life, and more particularly, our lives as believers. Growth requires change, and often it requires pain. And when we grow, we change into something new. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, when we're born again, that's the beginning of the process of coming into the fullness of who God's created us to be. And so we've got to recognize this. There are God-ordained processes for each one of us that are unique to our calling, purposes, and the grace given to us to fulfill it. They are designed to move us from one level to the next in thinking and in action. Let me say it again. There are God-ordained processes for each one of us that are unique to our calling, purpose, and the grace given to us to fulfill it. That means that for whatever the calling is on your life, God has meted out that grace, that much grace, for you to fulfill it. They are designed to move us from one level to the next in our thinking and in our actions. So lastly, I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to share these points. Where are you? And where is your commitment to next level thinking for next level living? See, most of us, if not all of us, would say, I'm certainly committed to the Lord. But are we committed to his processes? Are we committed to the way that he wants us to walk? I love Jesus. I'm going to heaven. But are you committed to the call and all that comes with the call? Because here's a reality. When the pain of change goes away and the comfort sets in, it's really time for more change. See, comfort is not bad. A certain amount of comfort is needed and required in life. But when we choose to stop, our faith stops growing also, and it's quite possible that you never fulfill or receive all God has intended for you. So there are moments in your life and in mine when God will cause a divine disruption. Every now and then, he will send somebody your way who is a disruptor in your life. Now, I don't mean like causing confusion and mess, but when I was reading this some time ago, and I shared a little bit about this, it was a story about a guy who had the opportunity to teach at a retreat, and he prepared what he was teaching, and his mentor and his teacher was there as a part of it. And so he taught, and he did a great job in his teaching. And they were walking back from the facility to their rooms or whatever. And he's walking with his mentor, and, and he's asking the question, what did you think? And how many of you would be honest enough to say, sometimes when we ask questions like that, we're really looking for affirmation, not the truth. We're looking for affirmation. How did I do? And his mentor, in all of his wisdom, simply said, I expected more. Now, here's the thing about that statement. He wasn't saying to him, you didn't do good. See, it goes back to the way we're thinking. All he was saying is, I know there's more in you. Now, maybe he could have said, I know there's more in you. But he said, I expected more. That statement was a disrupting statement to his processes. And I need us to know, as we are looking at next level thinking for next level living, that you may have some disruptors and disruption. As a matter of fact, you and I would do wise oftentimes to surround ourselves with some disruptors. Now, I know we're not going to just run out and try to find people to tell us something, you know. But here's how the Holy Spirit in his wisdom works. See, I'm in South Africa. I'm in South Africa because my bishop, others, including the leaders in South Africa, value me. They value what I do. They value what I've done. I'm there because I have something to offer. They know it. They receive it. But in the midst of that, Holy Spirit shows up as the divine disruptor and says, you've stopped. Now I'm over there preaching. I'm over there teaching. I'm over there leading worship. And then there's this disruption because I was no good the rest of the time I was in South Africa. And all I could do was think about getting home and getting it right. What's going on in your world right now that feels like a disruption? Don't fight it. Submit to God and allow him to work his process into that process. Because he has given us his word that makes it clear that all things work together for good to them that love God and are those that are called according to his purpose. There are times when we need to be our own disruptor. Simply meaning that this has worked till now, but I can't stay satisfied here. Next level thinking requires being willing to think differently than before. It can also require us to look at who we surround ourselves with, the books we read, the movies we watch, the music we listen to, etc. and etc. This is kind of Selah right there. Pastor Derek, would you mind joining me? And I feel like we need to take it to the next level. Is this helping anybody? It helped me, and it's helping me. And I know your processors and your thinking. As I said, I don't need a lot of amens, but I do want to have a sense that this word is for you because you're here and for those of you that are watching. Next level thinking requires being willing to think differently than before. It can also require us to look at who we're surrounded by. Who we're surrounded by. The books we read, the movies we watch, the music we listen to. If you have people around you that are always telling you how good you are, how great you are, and you don't have some Holy Spirit disruptors, and I say Holy Spirit because those individuals will say things for your good. Many of you know what I'm talking about because you put yourself in environments where you're not the smartest person in the room. That's a great place to be in. I get around people who know more than me. I get around people who can do more than me. When Pastor Derek and Pastor Gio and I, we began to talk about presence, presence driven here in the building. One of the things I said to Pastor Derek, I said, listen, I've learned to appreciate the giftings in others. I've learned to celebrate the giftings in others. I'm not always trying to be the most gifted person in the room. You don't grow that way. You don't grow anything that way. But a smart person, a smart leader, will gather to themselves those who know more than them, can do more than them, and then together we're able to accomplish what none of us would be able to accomplish on our own. So just a couple more thoughts here. Next level thinking, next level living, requires us to be aware that changes are happening all around us every day. And while it may seem like a never-ending cycle, our commitment is the key. Our commitment to change, our commitment to grow, our commitment as believers to step into areas of influence that allow us to be the catalyst for righteous change. We must ask Holy Spirit to help us be visionary. What happened? Give me 1 second.
I believe it is. Yes, sir.
Yeah, can you just give me, boost me up just a little bit? And then somebody say next level. Just say that ain't gonna happen again. And that was a little bit more than just that ain't gonna happen again. So let me read this point again. I need to make sure that this really flows. Next level thinking and next level living requires us to be aware that changes are happening all around us every day. While it can seem like a never-ending cycle, our commitment is key. Our commitment to change, our commitment to grow, our commitment as believers to step into areas of influence that allow us to be the catalyst for righteous change. I was making the statement, we've got to be visionary thinkers. We've got to be visionary thinkers. Do you not understand that visionaries are that they are next level thinkers? Entrepreneurs are next level thinkers. Visionary thinkers, entrepreneur thinkers, they don't think in a box. They think outside of the box. They're able to look in a field, and while some would look at it and all they see is weeds, but a visionary thinker will look at it and see housing complex, see apartments, see hotels, see industry, see all kinds of things. That's next level thinking. So we must begin to think. We've got to begin to be visionary thinkers. We've got to be thinking about not just next year, the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 25 years. We've got to begin to think about legacy. What are we leaving? Who are we leaving? This is going to be a season of, for many, of God stirring to move you to the next level. I want to reiterate this point, and then I'm done. Some people are placed in your life to be disruptors. They're in your life to move you to the next level. Here's the key. You must discern the heart intent so that you don't dismiss or distance yourself from someone God has placed in your life to help you move to the next level. Come on, if you receive the word right now, I want you to just thank God. Come on, just begin to thank God. Come on, just begin to say, I receive your word. I receive your word. I receive your word. Father, we thank you for this word. Father, I thank you for this word, for me. And I thank you for the grace that you're going to continue to help me to grow. Help me to continue to move into new levels, next levels. You're going to help me to see what I need to see, hear what I need to hear. I know that's your desire for each one of us, for all of us, for Heirs Covenant Church. And so we thank you for this word now.